ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we read from Bhagavad Gita, 18 chapter text 60, huh? I'll have the book. No repetition, first time. Svabhava Yena Kaunteya Nipatha Svena Karmana Kartum Nechasi Yan Mohat Karishyasi Avasho Api Tat Svabhava Yena Kaunteya Svabhava Yena Kaunteya Nipatha Svena Karmana Nipatha Svena Karmana Kartum Nechasi Yan Mohat Kartum Nechasi Yan Mohat Karishya Savaso Pitat Karishya Savaso Pitat Svabhava Yena Kaunteya Nipata Svena Karmana Kartum Nechasi Yan Mohat Karishya Savaso Pitat Svabhava Yena Born of your own nature. Kaunteya, O son of Kunti. Nipatha, conditioned. Svena, by your own. Karmana, activities. Kartum, to do. Na, not. Ichchasi, you like. Yat, that which. Mohat, by illusion. Karishyasi, you will do. Avashaha, involuntarily. Api, even. Tat, that. Translation purport, Historian Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. Purport. If one refuses to act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, then he is compelled to act by the modes in which he is situated. Everyone is under the spell of a particular combination of the modes of nature and is acting in that way. But anyone who voluntarily engages himself under the direction of the Supreme Lord becomes glorious. Svabhava yena kaunteya nipata svena karmana kartum nechasi yan mohat karishyasi avasho pitat. Under illusion you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. Om Agyati Maranya Sihakanan Chana Salakayam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this relation, in relation to this verse, I will read the previous verses so that we can follow up, or how say, remember what we read. I start with my last verse last Monday. Somebody remembers the Sanskrit verse? 1855. Very famous. Who was here? You all, mostly you were here. You remember? You came late. So you cannot remember because you came too late. You remember? Without notebook? Very good. So one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion he can enter into the kingdom of God. And then 56, I don't read the Sanskrit. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. 57. In all activities, just depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. 59. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. Then 60, so that is verse. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. So we have here also the acharyas that don't comment, give long comments on this verse, because this was already repeated several times during the Bhagavad Gita, of the nature to act according to one's nature, according to one's occupation, and be Krishna conscious. Like that. Don't be attached to the fruits of your own action. So Baladevi Debhushan is a commentator who made a Gita Bhushana commentary to Gita. He comments, the Lord elaborates on this point. If out of ignorance, moha means ignorance or illusion, you do not desire to fight, even though it is my order. Being bound by your actions as a kshatriya, svena karmana, which arises from your impressions, svabhava, jena, which are manifested by my material energy, you will do it anyway against your will. Avasha. So that's Baladevi Debhushana's comment to this verse. So Krishna emphasizes again to Arjuna to work according to your own svabhava. We heard this many times during the classes and reading of Bhagavad Gita. Also last time, svabhava yena. That means action manifests by your own nature. So we all have a certain nature, guna, based on the gunas. given by the Lord. The Lord who created Purusha, created this material world with all the ingredients, with all the gunas, with all the occupations already since beginning of universe when Brahma created. The Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Shudras, the Ashramas, Sannyas, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha. So this was already also established, this Varna and Ashrama. And the occupations for the human beings. Also the human beings already appeared since the beginning. Of course, beginning means not just in that moment when Brahma took birth, but it took some time to the time influence. But the human beings didn't manifest just a few hundred thousands or millions of years ago. They manifested since time immemorial, since the beginning of the creation. So there are human beings, there are 8,400,000 species of life. And especially in the human form of life, it is qualified, it is considered the best, even better than demigods and sages in the higher worlds. Because, why? You remember? Why it is better, the human form, than demigod life, or to be a sage? It is better because you can make choices. A human being can make choice. Demigod cannot make choice. An animal cannot make choice. A rishi in the higher planets can also not make choice. So they are what they are. But we are in human form of life, the jiva, the living condition, living entity, can make choices. We have our free will. And according to this free will, we can elevate ourselves. We can also degrade ourselves to the consciousness. So here Krishna speaks about the consciousness of action. This is svabhava, not just imitation. Imitation is not recommended, to imitate something, even though do it perfectly, perform perfectly, because it looks good, because it is appreciated, or looks good in the society, or it increases your false ego. This is not recommended. So a kshatriya or somebody who has administrative or warrior nature, he has to find an occupation in this direction. To serve in the army or to have administrative, political services. Those who are vaishyas inclined, they should either deal with money or with cows, or like this, treating cow protection, like that. This is the vaishyas occupation. Shudra occupation is to serve the higher classes. The brahmana's occupation or nature is to teach, to guide people, to inspire the people, perform yajna, studying scriptures, guiding people, and also the kings to follow dharma and to follow the scripture, the direction given by Vidhi, by the Vedas, by the scriptures. And Dharma Shastra. So this Varna and Ashram is very scientific. It's very scientific. It's according to nature. And even as a woman who taking birth in this Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, or Brahmana families, they're also they have these Varnas. Although they also have their own occupation, the Stri Dharma, where the stri or the woman has their own duty towards the family, the husband, chastity, service in the home. She should not sleep one night in another man's home, like that. So that's stri dharma. She should serve the husband, stay always with the husband. So the stri dharma. But she can also be kshatriya, she can be vaishya, she can be Shudrani. Therefore, the Kshatriya woman is Kshatriya with the long A. kshatriya woman. So, like Kunti Devi, like Draupadi, the kshatriya woman, famous in the Mahabharata. So they were very courageous, like also Gandhari, Tapasvini. She got the title Tapasvini, that she became very much determined in her chastity to her husband. And when she heard, and her parents chose her to marry Dhritarashtra, who was a blind man, she blindfolded herself for her whole life. She blindfolded herself that she would not be better than the husband. So she became glorious, one of the five most glorious women in the Mahabharata. Draupadi, Kunti Devi, Gandhari, then the wife of Ravana, Mandodari, and then the fifth one is Savitri.
Tara.
No. Don't mix. Savitri. Savitri is the fifth lady who was most glorious in Mahabharata. That became glorious because of their chastity, because of their, I would say, working together with husband. They didn't want to be better than husband. Although they were also kshatriya ladies, but they showed their kshatriya by their sternity, by their sincerity to take up vows, to take up sincere service, and don't be afraid. But anyway, in any stage, in any varna and ashrama, or woman or man, doesn't actually matter. The main thing what Krishna wants to build up or inspire Arjuna and the listeners of the Bhagavad Gita is to inspire the consciousness. The consciousness in what we are performing activities. So we have Svabhava as a material nature and also a Svabhava nature of the soul, as we all know. The soul's Svabhava or nature is to be an eternal servant of Krishna. This is actually the supreme occupation, the Paradharma. There's a Paradharma and there's Aparadharma. The rules and regulations for humanity and to act properly according to varna and ashrama is a paradharma. That means it's secondary. It's as long as we have a material body. But the paradharma are instructions given from the Lord, from the Vedas. From the Vedas, especially from the Puranas, to guide and inspire the people to act in the proper consciousness. So the consciousness is important, not the birth, not the quality of our heritage or where we come from parents and land, country. As we heard several times, this is not important. On contrary, those who consider themselves a product of a material body, except consider themselves a certain identification of a material body, like I'm man, I'm woman, I'm a kshatriya, I'm vaishya, I'm shudra, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a grihastha, I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm Swiss, or Russian. This is actually all material consciousness, what the animals also have. Saiva Gokara, Krishna therefore tells this is ass consciousness, animal consciousness. Animals, they think like that. They cannot think higher than that, mostly, with exceptions. If they had special mercy of Vaishnava, a dog can become Krishna conscious, we heard, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, because he gets the mercy of a pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya. But in general, animals have a lower consciousness. Therefore, higher than the animal is the humans, and the humans also have different grades according to their occupations and consciousness. And the highest who has the highest consciousness is the Brahmana, and even better than the Brahmana is the Vaishnava, who is purely devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Kapila Dev in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in his instructions to Bhakti Yoga, 25th chapter of the third canto, text 21, he tells, one can get liberation by seriously discharging Bhakti Yoga, devotional service, unto me with pure and simple mind, and thereby hearing for a long time about me or from me. By thus executing one's prescribed duties, svadharma, according to one's varna and ashrama, without selfish desires, there will be no reaction, and one will be freed from the contamination of matter. So again, this is a consciousness. If our consciousness is absorbed in our material nature, and the gunas, and we are certainly forced to act in a certain way, and also sometimes in a awkward way, in a way as we would not prefer or would like. Therefore, with the higher consciousness, we can control the lower consciousness. And the highest consciousness is if our consciousness is connected with yoga. That means in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is called yoga, to link up. So we're linking up with Krishna and act on the Krishna's direction. And that will be in next verses. Ishvara Saru Bhuta Ramritesha Achuna Tishtati, next verse, tomorrow's verse. Krishna then says, I'm situated in everyone's heart, and I'm directing everyone to act in a certain way and to attain certain destination. So then if we accept the Lord as leader and surrender unto him, then one is actually perfectly situated in the liberated position. So first we have to understand what is our nature, and act according to that nature in a honest way, and to become purified, accepting certain yamas and niyamas, rules and regulations, to become purified. And if the mind and the senses gradually become purified of the greatest obstacles of advancement in spiritual consciousness, then one gradually becomes aware about Krishna, and acts in Krishna consciousness, and becomes attached to Krishna, to Krishna's word. To become attached to Krishna means not only attached to Krishna's beauty, because he is the most beautiful one, most attractive one, but also to his words, to his activities, to his instructions, to his behavior, what he's setting. So that it means surrendering. We cannot surrender fully as long we are not purified. Therefore, in the beginning, as we spoke last time, we can surrender a little, with little faith, under direction of the spiritual master in the association of Vaishnavas. But when we become used to the practice of our activities in Bhakti Yoga, then gradually our faith will become more firm, and will become more fixed, and it becomes steady. Steady. It will not wavering around. It will not shaking. Sometimes in this party joining that party or that party according to our likes. So we stay chaste, like woman is chaste to husband. So same way a disciple is chaste to guru and the parampara, from where we receive the mercy, and that we should never forget, because only because we are in illusion, we're forgetting our connection our relationship. Therefore, we don't know how to act and how not to act. We don't know what is duty and what is not duty. And we also don't know, therefore, what is the goal and what is the way to that goal. So that direction is always here. It's given by Guru Krishna and the Shastras and the Sadhus. This direction is always here. And we always have to hear it again and again for our benefit and work in this direction that we can actually fully come to the point of full surrender in 1866, where Krishna says full surrender. Actually, Arjuna was already surrendered in the second canto, in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He already surrendered. He was free of doubt. He says, my doubt is gone. I'm ready to fight now. I accept you as guru. I'm fully surrendered now. My illusion is gone. So why in the 18th chapter, after so much speaking and revealing so much knowledge, Krishna is telling again, fight according to your nature. In the second, he told already. In the third chapter, he told. He's repeating it again and again. So the 18th chapter, we have to understand, is the conclusion. It's the Siddhanta of the whole Bhagavad Gita. And so Krishna is summarizing everything what he told in the Bhagavad Gita. So he brings it, he wants to fix it, make it firm, the statement, you know. Arjuna, still, although you heard so many things that I told you about yoga, about karma, about jnana, about action and in different ways, I still tell you, fight. Don't become a yogi. Don't become a renunciate. Don't become a weakling, a renegade. Don't be a ranchor. Don't run away from your duties. I can do that because I have a higher plan, you know, to kill the demon. Therefore, I can run away sometimes and become famous as a ranchor. But you cannot run away as a ranchor. You cannot give up your fight, because now your enemies are all facing you. That's the fact. It's the reality. It's a tattva. It's everything is there. So you cannot run away now. What the people will think about you. But this was already told. So Krishna doesn't have to repeat it again and again. He only had to fix it one time more before he came to the real conclusion, you know. I'm situated in everyone's heart, and you are my dear friend. You're not envious on me. You're faithful. Your faith is fixed in me because you're a friend. If we are not surrendered, or only little surrendered, we cannot make friendship with Krishna. So Arjuna's position is very unique. He's fully surrendered because he's Krishna's friend. Therefore, Krishna accepted Arjuna as his own, and Arjuna accepted Krishna as his own. That's a difference. That's a difference. So we all belong to Krishna. But Krishna really accepts us as his own, as his heart and soul. It has to become dear to him. And how you become dear to him? If you become friendly, in a relationship. Love him as he is, not as he would like that he should be, that he has to tell you all flattering words, you know, and then I like you, I love you. No, Krishna tells you always the truth, because he's Dharma personified. He's transcendental knowledge personified. And even if he tells you you have to speak a lie or you have to fight, although everyone knows for moral standard, it's not good to lie, it's not good to fight, to kill people. But when Krishna says, this is Dharma, this is Paradharma, this is highest occupation. Because it has a certain purpose, it will give a certain result. So as long as we are on the mental platform, we are always calculating what will be the result, you know, but of my action. But mostly we fail, we go wrong,
And we don't get the proper result and satisfaction in the heart because we're acting according to our own whims. So what Krishna emphasizes, we should act according to Krishna's whims, Krishna's direction, not whims. His direction is absolute. His sight, his knowledge, his vision is absolute because he is Trikalakya. He knows the past, the present, and future. He knows all the times because he is eternal. And he is omniscient. So if we work according to his direction given in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Vedas, then we are always perfect. Then we are acting properly. So Krishna ultimately told Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, you are my Sakha, you are very dear to me, therefore I reveal to you now the most confidential knowledge. In the 7th chapter he also told, because you are not envious, I will tell you confidential knowledge. In the 9th chapter he also told, because you are not envious, And you are devoted to me, you are my devotee, you are my bhakta, therefore I will reveal to you very confidential knowledge. And now in the 18th chapter again, Krishna says, because you are my very dear friend, I tell you more confidential. Most confidential heart knowledge you only tell to a very intimate friend who never doubts you, who actually loves you, who accepts you as you are. And he doesn't go and misinterprets your words somewhere on the marketplace or to other people. So he will truly represent his friend's confidential message. Because if Arjuna would not already surrender in the 2nd chapter, and would be ready to fight, then Krishna would not speak the whole Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna was ready to listen, to become inspired, to get the whole complete knowledge, so that he is fired up, focused on his duty, what to do, to go in proper direction. So to these Kapila Dev's verse, and he says, by thus executing one's prescribed duties in Svadharma, according to one's varna and ashrama, without selfish desires, there will be no reaction, and one will be freed from the contamination of matter, means of the nature, of the gunas. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he quotes Sridhar Swami, the Bhagavatam commentator, who mentions, just by association with material nature alone, one does not become conditioned. Many times we are in illusion because we are in the material world, we become conditioned. No, it's wrong. We are not conditioned just by being in the material world. We are conditioned. Conditional life begins only after one is infected by the modes of material nature. Not by the material world. Not by the body, the mind, the intelligence, other objects. But by the gunas. By the gunas, by the tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna. If our consciousness becomes infected, infected, the word is used, by these gunas, then we become bound up. Then we are imprisoned. If someone, like example Sridhar Swami is giving, if someone is in contact with the police department, Prabhupada also uses many times this example, with the police department. So we don't have to be afraid if you meet the police, if you're not a criminal. So, in the same way, we should not be afraid of Maya or of the material energy if we are not illusioned by her or allured by her or have some hidden motives or desires to enjoy her. So, the example is given of the of the police department, that does not mean that he is a criminal if you're in contact or meet a policeman. As long as one does not commit criminal acts, even though there is a police department, he is not punished. Similarly, the liberated soul is not affected, although he is in the material nature. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead is supposed to be in association with material nature when he descends, but he is not affected by the material nature. He is not conditioned by it. One has to act in such a way that in spite of being in the material nature, he is not affected by contamination. It's like a disease, you know. So virus, one has to be careful, one has to be immune against the viruses. There's so many viruses everywhere, you know, who can cause diseases. But we have to improve our immune system and consciousness. Then even if you have the if you are in connection with the viruses, you will not become infected of it by the material nature. Although the lotus flower example is given, like a lotus flower is in association with water, it does not mix with the water. That is how one has to live, as described here by Kapila Dev. Animita nimite na svadharmena malatmana. So Prabhupada concludes, therefore, one has to perform his prescribed duties in Krishna consciousness. There is no necessity of changing one's prescribed duties. One simply has to act in Krishna consciousness. In discharging Krishna conscious duties, one should determine whether by his professional or occupational duties, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied. In another place, in the Bhagavatam, it says, Svanustitasya dharmasya samsidhir haritoshanam. Everyone has some prescribed duties to perform, but the perfection of such duties will be reached only if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is satisfied by such actions. For example, Arjuna's prescribed duty was to fight, and the perfection of his fighting was attested by the satisfaction of Krishna. Krishna wanted him to fight, and when he fought for the satisfaction of the Lord, that was the perfection of his professional devotional duty. On the other hand, when contrary to the wish of Krishna, he was not willing to fight, that was imperfect. Like Yudhisthira also, for example, Krishna asked him, you have to speak a lie, Ashwatthama is dead, because only then Dronacharya will stop to fight, and then Krishna, and then Arjuna can kill him. Otherwise, nobody can kill him. Only when a bad omen or a bad word will come that some of dear relative or son die, Krishna knew about that. Therefore, he told to Yudhisthira, and who is Yudhisthira? He's the son of Dharma, who is famous that he never spoke a lie. why Yudhisthira had to speak a lie? It was completely against his conception of Dharma. Why? He thought, why I should tell? I'm famous for that. So it was his false ego. The Supreme Lord tells him lie. And he says, no, I don't lie. But I will tell a half a lie. So therefore he told, you know, Ashwatthama is dead, but it's the elephant. The elephant, Ashwatthama is dead. But then Krishna arranged it in such a way, you know, that the conches were blowing. Conch, boo! So the Dronacharya could not hear elephant, he only heard Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama is dead. He's gone. But the elephant, he didn't hear because the conch, he got disturbed the vibration that it is the elephant. So when he heard this information, then he immediately stopped to fight, and then Arjuna, he could kill him. Or for example, Bhishma also, who was also very dharmic, you know, very dharmic. You know, he had for his brother Vichitravira. So he had to kidnap three ladies from Kasi and bring them as his wives because he was a young prince, Vichitravira. And so Bhishma kidnapped them from the Swayamvar ceremony. Many princes came, and he came there and he challenged everyone, and without problem he brought them back to Vichitravira. But when one was Amba, other one was Ambika, other one was Ambalika. So there were three princesses. But Amba, she gave her heart already to Shalva, to another king. So she requested Bhishma, please give me back because I'm in love with another man. No. I'm already fixed. One should not give a woman who is already fixed to another man. Bhishma, he did that. He released her. But then this king, he didn't want to have anything to do because he told, you stayed one night in another man's place with the Kurus, the ones who kidnapped you. So I don't want to see you. You are not existing for me anymore. So what Amba had to do? Amba was in great trouble. She could not go back and she could not go there in both directions. Ultimately, she went back to Bhishma and asked him to marry, to arrange, so that he maybe marry her. But Bhishma took a vow, brahmachari. I will stay brahmachari for his father's well-being, that he could marry Satyavati. So he was. He says, "I took vow. I will not marry." He refused. He refused to give her shelter. And he, in so many ways, Bhishma, he didn't wanted to break his vow of what he gave, that he will not marry. So he put the dharma, that means the vow of dharma, higher than actually what he actually should do, for what would be for the best, also satisfying for Krishna. But for example is given, if somebody who is honest never wants to speak a lie, he becomes proud in that. And he will even tell always the truth. He becomes very, very proud. I'm always speaking the truth, even if it is not needed. Like one time, somebody was looking for a man, for a honest man who didn't do any wrong. He went and these dacoits, they came and asked this sage, have you seen him? Yeah, he hid there behind the bush. And then the dacoits, they came and they killed the man, that means this kind of honesty was not good. It was false ego. Therefore, actually, the brahmana, or the sage, or yogi, who was so-called honest, he got the reaction for that. He got the punishment for that. So one has to always define what is dharma and what is ultimately the best thing to do according to time, place, and circumstances. Krishna always knows what is the best. He could see what is the best, how to act. And therefore, he wanted to inspire Arjuna to act in a certain direction, although it was maybe sounding not according to the idea and to the ethics of Dharma. But he told him, you're a Kshatriya. You already fought in many different ways. Right? You fought because that's your nature. If you don't follow your nature, if you now want to become a yogi, later on this nature will follow you up. She will come up again. It will go down for temporarily, but then later on it will come up again, and then you have to anyway act according to your nature, and then in a such a way that you maybe will not like it, and you will not get a proper nice result to your satisfaction, and especially not for the Lord's satisfaction. So dharma therefore means to act always according to the direction given by the Lord. So if Prabhupada says, if one wants to perfect his life, he should discharge his prescribed duties for the satisfaction of Krishna. One must act in Krishna consciousness, for such action will never produce any reaction, animita nimitena. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, yagyarta karmano yatra. All activities should be performed simply for yagya, or for the satisfaction of Vishnu. So this is ultimately what should be done, to sacrifice our life and our nature, our body, our words, our occupation, our intelligence, our resources, in the service of Krishna. And in this way, we can get the best use of a bad bargain. Because we have now this material body, parate bhumite haile munusa chanmachara, chanmasata karikara, para upakara. So now we have to learn how to engage this human form of life in this world for the benefit of others, to help others, to show them the highest occupation. Not only the material occupation, but the highest occupation. Because if you act in the highest occupation, then the Lord will be satisfied. He will be pleased with whatever activities we are doing, if it is under the direction of the Lord. What more to say? To stop here, maybe some questions, comments.
Just like when we are surrendering to everyone, everything we have surrendered to them, that sometimes our family members, they are taking objections.
Our family members?
Just like when we surrender, we have given everything, our life to the movement. And then sometimes our family members, they don't like the things what we are doing. They criticize that you have left everything, you left you are running away from your duties and you are doing this thing. So sometimes it's very difficult to understand what we should do in this at this point.
Yeah, of course, they will not understand. But because if you are a devotee, or become convinced by a devotee sent by Krishna to you, and he will give you an higher meaning in your life, in your human form of life, and you stick to it, then you have actually no obligations to your family anymore. That's a Shastric statement, you know. That's Devashi Putatra Rinampi Trinam. And that verse, then you're not obliged anymore to the Devas, to the sages, to the forefathers, to the humanity, to your family members. You're not obliged to them anymore, because you are engaged in the highest occupation. They maybe don't understand now, but later on, because when they see that you're developing nice qualities and you become satisfied and happy, and then they see you, then they understand, maybe, if they're a little honest or a little open, that actually you choose the proper, a nice, good path. And then they come and ask you. You don't even have to convince them. They come and ask you, you know, what is your secret? What actually made you so changed and so happy and satisfied and wise and intelligent? We cannot even recognize you from before, but now you're even much better than before. You completely changed your nature. How is it possible? So they will see. They will see by the result, by the polished, emerald or gold. If it is covered by black and dirt, earth, then you cannot identify what is gold, what is stone. But if the heart become purified, consciousness become purified, then it becomes like golden. And then your own family members start to respect that. And you can see these thousands, hundreds and thousands of examples of devotees whose families were practically completely against. But then later on they completely changed their attitude and accepted their way of life because they saw how nicely they develop after 20 or 30 years of practice of Krishna consciousness. Like my mother, she was completely against when I joined Hare Krishna. She was completely... I never could speak about it or approach her. But then when I married and when I invited her to our home and how we live, then she became very appreciative. Then previously she always made some remark, oh, why you always on the street distributing books, you live like a renunciate, like a beggar, I was not happy about that. And then I told her, is it something else, should I give it up? Should I give up this Krishna consciousness and do something else? And then she shaked her head and said, no, after so many years of practice, you know, you would be foolish to do something else. And she told to me, you know, although she was not at all Krishna conscious, no? But she told me it would be foolish she is not present in this body anymore. After 30 or 35 years of practice, you would be foolish, you know, to change something, to give it up, you know, and do something else. Join another religion, another process, or do another engagement. So she appreciated that after so many years, her son is still practicing the same thing he practiced from the very beginning. And he developed even in a more nicer way than she thought. So she became happy and satisfied. And in the end, she left the body in peace. You know, we were in peace and harmony together. So there was not a regret or some hate or some, resentment, you know, of her son's activities. So she was happy.
Sometimes in the moment we are in the moment, and sometimes some disturbance are there in this one. If somebody asks us, so we have to hide the things. We cannot say that I have this problem in this one. I am getting something. So something we have to hide to the our family member that no, okay, I am fine.
You don't have to tell, as already told. It's not dharma to always tell the truth to the wrong person or on the wrong place, because the result will be contrary. So sometimes better you don't tell. No? It's not against your dharma. Because you cannot tell somebody who is completely against your way of life and your consciousness, to tell him something very confidential about your decision and about your activities. It's even considered offensive. Namaparad, you know, if you speak something very confidentially about chanting, why you chant, what is the benefit of chanting to the non-believers, you should not tell. No. They anyway cannot accept. Even if you tell them very nice that your process and your decision, they cannot accept. As long they don't really have the experience, the realization of your change, and that they see during the course of time, they also get some benefits and maybe some lessons in life, and then they can appreciate. So that due to the influence of the time, so sometimes the time, and it's not right to speak to one person at a certain time and another time. You can speak.
Then
they're more open for it. And the wrong time, don't speak. Better you shut your mouth and keep quiet and say yes, yes. But keep going with your faith and with your process. Don't give it up. Bala? Comment, question?
Alles klar.
Alles klar. No, he says everything clear, no question. Krishna Prem? Yeah? Comment, question? I forgot something or something to add? Prabhuji? You look senior. You may want to say something? What's your name?
Delhi.
Yeah?
Nitai Chand.
I'm afraid I fell asleep. Yeah, you saw, but then at one point in the end you became awake. So no problem.
I haven't got a question.
Okay, that's good. That means the topic was maybe not so much interesting, then one falls asleep.
I've never known an hour pass so quickly.
Yeah. No, it goes fast. Especially if one falls asleep. Hours go very fast if I fall asleep, or a lecture or a topic is very interesting. It also goes very fast. And sometimes a speaker can speak 3-4 hours and you don't realize that the 3-4 hours went by. Shyama, you have something in your notebook?
I clearly understood that even for Krishna, we are already completely done everything, but only not complete, only for half. Even in that case, Krishna will help us.
He always helps. Even if you are not surrendered to him, he helps you. He's there, as he says in the next verse, 61, I'm in everyone's heart, I'm guiding everyone. But ultimately, it doesn't interfere with your free will in the human form of life. That's our choice. So he lets to make your choice. Even Arjuna, he could, in the end, you know, told him, I told you I told you everything, so now you can decide. So I gave you all, I told you everything from all the different points and angles of view. If you still have a doubt or still have a question, you know, ask now. I'm ready to tell you the same again. Until it sticks. Until it's clear. That's the teacher's determination. He's ready to speak the same thing again and again for the benefit of the disciples and the listeners and for the people in general. He can tell this again and again. So that we understand. Sometimes it's, we ask, you know, why so much repetition? Why it's always this? Also, Krishna repeats himself several times in the Bhagavad Gita, you know. So why this repetition? No? Because it's needed. Important points. What the teacher wants to emphasize that you should do, and how what you should in which direction you should act, and have your consciousness in your action. It's repeated again and again, so that we really understand, because we have tendency to forget. Because we have the tendency to forget. You can follow many wise things in your life, rules and regulations, and to do the wisest and the best thing in your life, you know. But ultimately, you forget. You have the condition, you know, to forget. Therefore, the Vaishnavas, and also the Supreme Lord himself, in the heart and outside, in form of the Vaishnava Gurus and the Shastras, always wants to inspire us and to remind us about our real duty. And this is called Svadharma or Paradharma. Savai Pumsham Parodharmo Yato Bhaktira Dokshashi Ahaituki Apratiyata Yayatma Suprasidati. Only this highest occupation done in the consciousness of uninterruption, that means steadily practice. Apratiyata. And what is the other thing? And without false motivation, that will ultimately satisfy the soul. The self will become satisfied, and also Krishna will become satisfied. Because he is the self of the self. He is also Atma, but he is the Paramatma. He's the Supreme Self. But he's never selfish. He always thinks about the benefits and of others, and especially of his devotees. Those who are devoted himself, themselves to him, he is ready to help. That's his promise. Kauntya pratichanihi name bhakta pranashati. You can tell. He tells Arjuna. You can tell. Because when they say, who is the source who told that my Krishna's devotee will never be vanquished? If they will ask, you know, who told you? And then if you say Krishna, then they say, yeah, Krishna also can break his vow. We can maybe not completely trust him, you know. But the vow what Krishna gives to his, or promise what Krishna gives to his devotee, that vow he never breaks. That's his promise. That he will never break. Because that's his personal vow to the devotee. And not only to a devotee who is very high class, even if he is a so-called sinner, who has some attachments still, and maybe not so steady sometimes in devotional service, but because he is fixed in Krishna, despite of his weaknesses, Krishna is accepting him. And he will uplift him ultimately, because we cannot uplift ourselves by our own effort. But Krishna can give the strength, he can give the intelligence. He can give us the proper vision, the proper understanding. So the main thing that we always stick to Krishna, despite our disqualification or weaknesses. And then Krishna says, although he may be a great sinner, I accept him as sadhu. One should accept him as a saintly person. Because very soon, that person, if he will stay in Krishna consciousness, will become purified and he will be sheltered on Krishna's lotus feet, and Krishna will protect him, and he will give him everything and maintains him. That's his promise. Okay? Good, we stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Ki Jai.